Our Savior lives, man. He is powerful. As the song said, He is mighty to save. He's not laying in some cave somewhere, decaying into dust and ashes, man. He is alive and ruling and reigning. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Thank God He is raised. The empty tomb proves, and I know I've preached this before, the empty tomb proves that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and it proves that He accomplished what He said He was going to do. When He says, I'm going to give my life as a sacrifice for your sin, how do we know that really happened? The empty tomb proves it. When He said, when He said, before Abraham was, I am. When He was shown by the Scriptures to be the Son of God, I know He is, in fact, the very Son of God because of what? The resurrection. The empty tomb proves it. There is no body. Why do you seek the dead? I mean, the living among the dead. He's not here. He is risen. When Scripture says that I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, that I am cleansed, that I am saved, that I am sanctified, that I am born again, that I can be filled with this Holy Spirit, that my name is written in His Lamb's book of life, and that I have an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for me, I know it's true. Why? The empty tomb declares it so. You can go, if you can go out there and pull out a body, I'll give it a second thought. But as long as that thing is empty, I'm putting my faith in Christ. Praise God. He is alive. And He is coming back one day to fully establish His kingdom. Man, I can't wait for that. Man, you think you've seen some stuff at the movies. Man, you ain't seen nothing till you see the Lord come back. Man, on that day, man, it says that people will run into the caves and hide and ask the rocks to fall on them to save them from the face and the wrath of the Lamb. Man, that's going to be a day. But you know, not everybody believes that. Many people don't. Many people refuse to believe that Christ is risen from the dead. And so they concoct fairy tales and fables and speculations and imaginations about what must have happened instead to try to prove that He never arose. And even though many of these people are very credentialed scholars, their assertions and arguments are frequently, in fact, just about all the time, they are nothing scholarly at all. But they argue these things based on whims and their presuppositions and their speculations and their imaginations. It's dust in the wind, man. It's just so much hot air. But because they have these credentials and because you see them on TV, and I tell you what, man, anytime you see something about the Lord Jesus Christ on like public TV or some cable channel like that, unless it's a Christian station, you ought to have red flags going up, because it's 99% of the time a bunch of liberal scholars who don't even believe in God, graduated from seminary on the staff of some church and don't even believe in God, trying to tell you why you shouldn't believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God. And they present a lopsided, one-sided argument. You will never hear the other side. You will never see how many holes are in their story. They have so many holes in their story, it ought to leak like a colander. But you will never hear it. So I would advise you, if you ever see that stuff on cable TV, don't be attracted to that. Don't even waste your time. It does not even deserve your half hour of attention. Praise God. What I want to share with you today are some of the more popular or prominent fantasies that these guys have come up with. And I want to contrast that with what Luke calls many convincing or infallible proofs that Jesus Christ is alive. And I hope you'll be able to see the difference, because it's like black and white. It's like night and day. Resurrection expert, university professor Gary Habermas, who has written books and books about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, thinks it's very important for us to know why we can tell that He rose from the dead. Because he said, you know, every single shred of evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is also evidence for my eventual resurrection. Because I got news. You're going to die. You're going to die. I mean, except unless the Lord comes back and raptures you out of here, short of that, you're going to die. And so, in light of that, I would think the resurrection is a very important issue for you. Because you can either just hope or wish for some, you know, pipe dream. Well, gee, I hope I go to heaven, or I hope, you know, I'll live some way, somehow, in some fashion. Or you can look at the evidence that God gives us and base your hopes on His promise and know that we stand on a solid, firm foundation. Amen? Praise God. All right, so let's look at some of these fantasies and compare them with the truth. Number one, the swoon theory. And before I go into this, I just want to play a little video clip if I could. Sometimes a picture is worth a thousand words. Yeah, even that picture. Yeah, give me some of that, RJ.
Are you the Miracle Max who worked for the king all those years?
The king's stinking son fired me, and thank you so much for bringing up such a painful subject. While you're at it, why don't you give me a nice paper cut and pour lemon juice on it? We're closed! Beat it, or I'll call the brute squad.
I'm on the brute squad.
You are the brute squad.
We need a miracle. It's very important.
Look, I'm retired. Besides, why would you want someone the king's stinking son fired? I might kill whoever you want to make the miracle.
He's already dead.
He is, huh? I'll take a look. Bring him in. I've seen worse. Except once, and that was a very noble cause.
This is noble, sir. His wife is crippled. The children are on the brink of starvation.
Now you are a rotten liar.
I need him to help avenge my father. Murdered these 20 years.
Your first story was better. Where's that bellows pen? He probably owes you money, huh? Well, I'll ask him.
He's dead. He can't talk.
Look who knows so much, huh? Well, it just so happens that your friend here is only mostly dead. There's a big difference between mostly dead and all dead. Please open his mouth. Yeah. Mostly dead, he's slightly alive. Yeah. All dead, with all dead, there's usually only one thing that you can do.
What's that?
Go through his clothes and look for loose change.
Okay. Thank you. He wasn't all dead. He was what?
Mostly
dead. That is the swoon theory. That is this theory that started around 1929 and keeps coming up. Every time it comes up, they shoot it down in flames, but then a couple years go by and somebody resurrects it with some new variation. It comes out in all different kind of ways. The Passover plot back in, I think, the 60s or something had to do with the swoon theory. It's just the same old tired nonsense, you know, dressed up in new clothes. But basically it says, you know, the premise of that is that when Jesus was taken off the cross, he wasn't all dead. He was only mostly dead. And there's a whole lot of variations on that. What it basically says is that he later revived in the tomb. They took him off the cross. He was mostly dead. They stuck him in there, sealed it up. And in the cool dampness of the tomb, he kind of revived and came back to life. And then his disciples told everybody that he rose from the dead. Now, let me say, just like before, there are so many holes in this story, it looks like it was hit with buckshot. I mean, this thing just leaks on every side. First of all, we're going to go through some of these holes. First of all, the Roman soldiers who put Christ to death were expert executioners. They did their job very well. They knew how to kill somebody and do it very painfully and very efficiently. He was not the only person who was ever crucified. In fact, one time there was an insurrection that they squelched, And they crucified about 3,000 of these rebels all along the highway leading into Jerusalem. They were experts at this. They were battle-hardened soldiers. They had fought and killed, and they knew what they were doing. To start with, and you guys have seen, I'm sure, how many of you have seen The Passion of the Christ? Probably almost everybody. Okay, that was taken from historical documents and evidences. That was very accurate to start with. Before they even nailed him to the cross, when they flogged him and scourged him, they used a special whip. They had variations on this thing, but basically the way it was constructed was it had metal balls attached to the strips of leather. And the purpose of these metal balls was that when they would whip you, they would hit the body with such force that the tissue would bruise and swell up and fill with blood. But also attached to those strips of leather were pieces of very razor-sharp bone or razor-sharp metal shards, depending upon the whip. And as those balls would bruise and beat the flesh and cause it to swell up and gorge with blood, then those razor-sharp shards of bone or metal would then slice those swollen things open, and so the blood would just pour out of the person's flesh, and it would literally rip the flesh apart. It's not even something you could suture because it would just do so much damage. It would just flay the person's flesh, and they would bleed profusely and suffer massive tissue damage. And as you saw in the movie, they nearly beat him to death. Then after doing that, they made him drag his cross as far as he could towards the execution site so that his heart was just beating inside of his chest, pouring out the blood. In fact, as he began to suffer blood loss, his heart would beat even faster. Many people who suffer a massive amount of blood suffer a heart attack because the blood tries to pump the heart tries to pump the blood out into the body to keep the organs alive. And so it just works so hard that they literally go into cardiac arrest.